This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, a tough day today, a very, very tough day with so many mixed emotions. I did want to talk about the quality of life across Israeli cities. There was a survey that was put out about different cities and the quality of life that people experience. It just kind of doesn't feel appropriate to talk about that today, because there are just so many things going on. Many of us were up at 3 a.m. this morning with sirens blaring across the central part of Israel. Again, another Houthi attack. It's interesting that the report that we've received says that there were a number of attempts made to intercept the incoming missile from Yemen, and that it was probably intercepted. Those are the words that are being used to describe what happened. So we don't have confirmation that the missile that came in actually was intercepted. We do know that there was no damage caused and that there were no injuries, at least no injuries from the missile itself, because inevitably, when sirens go in the central part of Israel, people do get injured, especially when people are running in the middle of the night to their bomb shelters. Inevitably, people are falling over, and there's a level of an anxiety involved in that number of people, that so many people being involved in running to the bomb shelters. So there were a number of injuries that are related to people running to their bomb shelters, but nothing from the missile itself. There was a certain delay at Ben Gurion Airport last night, 3 o'clock this morning, when the airport was closed for a short period of time to takeoffs and landings. A number of flights that were inbound were told to circle over the Mediterranean until the all clear was given. They were then allowed to land. So just a short delay in activities at the airport, but overall a disrupted night for many people in central Israel due to that. The bomb siren and the alert that was sounded in the night. And it kind of epitomizes things that have been happening on what I would call a drip feed basis, just like one drone being sent towards Israel during the course of yesterday, which was intercepted outside of Israeli airspace. And so there were no sirens sounded. But there's just a drip feed of attacks that are coming from the Houthis in Yemen. And that doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon, in spite of the fact that the IDF did carry out attacks in Yemen against Houthi targets, and they were supported on this occasion by the US and the UK armed forces as well. And yet, right away, immediately after those attacks have been carried out, we get another drone and another missile and another attempt to infiltrate Israeli airspace. So this, I think, is something that we will be experiencing, at least for the foreseeable future. And it comes on a day when there is a lot of confusion, emotional upset, and a lack of knowledge about exactly where we're going. So let's talk about some of the other big stories.
Yeah, because it's, well, just so that I'm clear, maybe we're not clear on this. If there is a ceasefire with Hamas, does that mean that Yemen will stop firing at Israel?
That's really not clear. And that's amongst many things that are really not clear about this emerging agreement with Hamas that will involve the release of hostages. And I just want to bring listeners a little bit into the dilemmas that are being faced right now with this emerging agreement. There are suggestions that an agreement may be announced as soon as this afternoon concerning the release of hostages and Israel's activities or cessation of activities in Gaza. And the latest report that I've seen, which comes from the BBC, I don't know how much we can trust the BBC, but it apparently quotes some Palestinian official who said that three hostages would be released on the first day of any deal that is implemented, with ultimately a number around 33 or 34 being mentioned as the number of hostages who will be released. Most of them alive, we're being told, most of them alive, will be released from Gaza in the first stage of what will be apparently a 42-day period, which will comprise the first stage of this agreement. And there will be hostages released, 33 or 34 of them all in all. There will be something like 1,000 Palestinian prisoners released from Israeli prisons. And the IDF will pull back from Gaza to some degree. They will relinquish points along the Philadelphia axis, and they will pull back from certain areas within northern Gaza. So there will be quite a significant pullback of IDF troops from Gaza during the period of this first stage. And then that first stage, we understand, will facilitate a time to negotiate a second stage. So it seems as though with the new president being inaugurated next week, there is...
Oh, Anthony, are you still...
It's inaugurated,
right.
And I think...
Yes. Sorry, you cut out there for a moment. So, yeah. Carry on.
I think there's pressure both from the Biden administration to be able to show some success before President Biden leaves office. And I think there's some pressure from the incoming Trump administration, because President Trump has already warned that all hell will break loose if there isn't a deal by the time he comes in. And of course, he will take credit for pushing this ahead and for setting this deadline before he even came into office. So I think there's a lot of pressure to somehow achieve something between now and next week on Monday, when the president will be inaugurated.
The fact that this is a ceasefire, not a surrender by Hamas, is this being perceived? Is this a discussion in Israel or
massive discussion?
Okay,
it's a massive discussion. There's a massive discussion. There is the number of people supporting this agreement are on the very, very razor edge in terms of how many Israelis really support this agreement or not. On the one hand, I think there is little doubt that we all want our hostages to come home, dead or alive, almost under any circumstances. The problem is that the word capitulation is now being used in terms of what the Israeli government is doing in order to achieve this agreement. And by that, we mean that there is a discussion about the fact that the Israeli government has apparently acknowledged and accepted that Hamas will continue to rule over Gaza, and that IDF troops will be pulled out of Gaza completely, and that a ceasefire will be declared as part of this agreement. Now, it's not clear exactly what stage needs to be reached in order for that to come into effect. But this word capitulation, as I say, is being used quite freely now. And I just wonder what listeners would do when faced with this dilemma. On the one hand, give up what your real targets in Gaza were, which was to destroy Hamas and to secure some sort of security and safety for citizens of Israel, both in the south and everywhere else. And on the other hand, release our hostages. And unfortunately, we can't achieve both of them under the current circumstances. We're going to have to either decide one way or the other. And Israeli society is split as to what is the most appropriate route to take now, given the fact that, you know, the so-called capitulation is being mentioned as required in order to release the hostages. But we can't afford to leave our hostages beyond day 466, which is where we are right now.
Yeah, it's just so perplexing because, you know, when and I mentioned it to listeners earlier, Japan didn't, there wasn't a ceasefire at the end of the Second World War. Japan surrendered, Germany surrendered, and then you can start to build afresh. But with a ceasefire, as you mentioned, and the possibility that, and the reality that Hamas still controls Gaza after all of this time is, I would imagine, for anyone in Israel, even those who have sacrificed at the highest level, could be very, very concerning. Because where does it go from here? Well, we don't really know, do we, what the ceasefire agreement says?
We don't know what the ceasefire agreement says, and a lot of people are concerned that on the day after, we will effectively be almost similar to the day before, that between October the 6th of 2023 and whatever the day after this agreement will look like, other than the fact that much of Gaza has really been decimated, and other than the fact that that many of the senior leaders of Hamas who were in power on October the 6th have now been taken out, but as far as the rest is concerned, nothing has changed in terms of Hamas's ability to rule in Gaza, Hamas's ability to influence, Hamas's desire to build an area that can be used as a springboard to continue to attack Israel and to try to carry out another October the 7th, because we have been told in words of one syllable that they will try to do it again. So how do we respond to that? What do we do now? How do we prevent that from happening in the future? How do we secure our safety? Clearly, we have to be a lot more awake in order to secure our borders. But there is one thing which continues to plague me about the events of October the 7th. And the thing that plagues me is that if October the 7th had not taken place, and if we had somehow managed to repel that attack, we would be sitting today on the border of a territory that is entirely structured towards attacking us, towards trying to decimate us at some point of time in the future. And so if it didn't happen October the 7th, when actually would these tunnels, would these weapons, would this preparedness, all this preparation that's gone in, when would that be exercised? So we've had the opportunity now to go in and to destroy much of it, not all of it, but much of it. But the question is, do we allow that situation to arise again? How do we potentially prevent it? These are very perplexing and very, very difficult questions for us to answer. And right now, I don't think any of us have any concept of how to answer these questions.
It is very challenging, and certainly we will continue to have these conversations as more information comes out. Carol Zee says peace equals victory on both sides, but it is difficult for all. And Sylvia saying this deal is a joke. I have no idea what to. My gut is that this is a mistake, but that doesn't take away from the fact that 33 people and families will be lives will be changed in a positive way. So very, very difficult to stand so strongly against it when we know that there are hostages who are suffering every single day. It's almost impossible, I think, to try and navigate this. What do you think? 061-895-1019. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.